succeeding as the lost become the found. You can never be defeated, for you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah. You're the hope for all the world. By your grace I live and breathe and worship.
Somebody overcame. That overcoming power is in this place. That overcoming power is living within us today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Just there's a word I believe God has for his people this morning, and I we get to praise him and worship him and create an atmosphere for him to be in. But the word's going to go forth later, and I just share with you something he impressed upon me, and it was very specific. He says, I took my troubles to the Lord, and I cried unto him, and he answered my prayer. The Lord my God, O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. Yes. There's something about when we pray to God, when we cry out to him, when we pray to him over our family, when we are in distress. We are in distress for a moment, but God says, I heard that. And we can know with confidence when I humble myself and I pray and fast before the Lord and our flesh cries out. He goes, I heard that. Yes. I'm paying attention to that in Jesus' name. When I pray over my family and over my children, yes, and it's effectual, fervent prayer. It isn't, yes, just no ordinary prayer. I'm not just praying through the motions, but God has heard the cries of his people,
yes,
in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I watered my tears with my couch, on my couch, the Lord heard that. The Lord received that in Jesus' name. If I'm here to encourage one person today, when you cried out to the Lord and you thought you were all by yourself, the Lord himself showed up right in that situation,
yes,
right where you're at,
yes,
at that moment of time, and he heard that. And God is more than able,
yes, hallelujah,
to do, to finish, to respond. God is able to do things that no man can do,
yes,
and no other God has ever been able to do before. Let's worship the Lord and be encouraged in this place in Jesus' name.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that you know him? That his blood covers you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I think Wednesday night, I believe I shared with a lot of you that a very close friend to my boss, one of my bosses, they consider them family. They lost their 20-month-old son. He just didn't wake up the next morning. And so my boss has, you know, some church in his background. In fact, I've walked into him listening to my husband on our website before. And he, you know, he's kind of having a hard time. Like, you know, he asked me, well, why would God let that happen? And, you know, I mean, God, life does happen, and God does allow things to happen. He doesn't make them happen. And I said the Bible said, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. We don't understand it. I don't have a good reason for you. And, I mean, I hate it. But I do know that God is sovereign, and that baby is in a much better place. Yes. I know that the parents and that here on earth, they're all hurting. And, you know, I just thought to myself, where do people go when they face something like that? Where, I mean, I would be a mess. I would be a disaster if I did not know the Lord, if I didn't have my hope in the Lord. Mm-hmm. But, you know, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, he is sovereign and he is so worthy to be praised. Yes, 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 yes. Our circumstances, our praise is not predicated upon our circumstances. Yes. Yes. So this next song, I told them to be aware that I'm not comfortable with the songs I chose this morning, so I'm going to be changing things up on them. So this is where I'm changing it up on us. This song is one of my favorites, and it just talks about every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart.
song from my heart. And you are good.
Lord, you're good.
You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever.
Aren't you thankful for his mercy? Hallelujah. You are so good, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
I'm over.
Starting to spike while we were singing and worshiping the Lord this morning. He said the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. He said in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know what that means? That means there's going to be an influx. That means there's going to be something. God's going to do this. It's going to happen. I'm not discouraged. I'm here to tell you don't be discouraged. You can look to your left and to your right. I've not seen it happen today, but it's going to happen. This thing is going to happen. There's going to be an overflow. I believe it. We're going to have to open these windows. People are going to hear this stuff. And they're not. There's going to be standing room only in here. I've said it before, and if I sound like a fool, I'll be a fool for his name's sake. That God's going to pour out his spirit in a way that he is going to blow our minds and do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I'm going to praise him for it right now as if it had already happened in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Today is Bread Sunday, and you could be seated for a moment, except for the ones that have kept up on a bread reading. If you could stay standing at this time, we're going to do two things at once. We're going to ask the Grimms to come forward. This is week three of Penny Wars. I'm going to, Allison, would you come forward and hand out the bread this morning? And we're going to hand it over to the Grimms at this time.
Well, sheesh for Christ. We've had 2 weeks in, going into the third week. And the penny wars, the men against the women, all for a good cause. You could put up the rules just so that in case anybody forgot. Read those if you like. Or just put money in the jugs. It's all, like I said, for a good cause. Sheesh for Christ, great cause. Here's the things that some of the sheesh for Christ covers and they take care of. All kinds of missionary vehicles. We got a bigger print for you, Brother Day. Got a bigger print just for you. Just for you. Yes, sir. Tupelo Children's Mansion, Lighthouse Ranch for boys. You know, you intentionally, you know, affect internationally the whole kingdom of God. So it's a good, all good cause. And now, so I have a...
So week one, we all together we had 181.79. Week two we gathered 178.32 for a total of $360.11. That's pretty good. Keep on giving. Women, this week we had 103.27, but we had only $20.32 plus, $82.95 negative. So we're at a loss of $62.63. So week one, we were positive 15 cents for our total. We're negative $62.15. Week two leaders, no, that's backwards. Okay, men, plus this week was $14, negative $61.05 for a total of $75. Minus, they're in the hole as well of $47.05. So, but they're positive $34.54. So for total, they're negative $21.51. So for the now, the leaders are the men. But they're still ahead, 49.97 of us.
So there we are. Right there is where we're at. The men are winning by about $50. So we got a couple more weeks to go, just so we can make put the $20 of the men. So we're at least in the good for now, right? Oh, where'd she come up with that? I don't know. All right. Well, let's take up the offering. Brother Mike, Brother Al, are you helping out this morning? The offering? Oh. Pastor Wells, your plans come together really good. He's a man with Pastor
you
with a plan at all times.
Always.
All right. Brother Al, would you lead us in prayer over the offering?
Thank you.
As you remain standing, we're going to take some knees of the Lord in prayer. If you are sick in your body, you'd like to be anointed and prayed for, this is always a great opportunity for you to come and be anointed and prayed for. But I want us to specifically remember the Mander family, the family that was mentioned earlier that lost a 20-month-old son. And it's my understanding that the funeral services are tomorrow. And as I was thinking about the situation there, and I was brought to a story in the Bible where David is fasting, his child is sick, and David is pleading with the Lord and wanting the child to live, and understands by the countenance of his servants that the child has passed away. And then David makes this profound statement that God forbid anything would ever happen to one of my children. But if something did, I would hope that I could come and make the kind of statement that David made. For David said, I will go to him. He will not return to me. David had a hope that said, I won't see him anymore in this life, but I'll see him on the other side. We have a hope in the hereafter. We know that because of sin, death, and destruction, and corruption, and evil, but Jesus has come that we might have life and that more abundant. He is the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. I have a hope. And I realize being in ministry and dealing with tragedy and supporting and trying to help families as they deal with loss, there are not adequate words to soothe. We can only pray. We can only be there as a comfort and help. But I want us to pray for this family. They're connected to people in this church. My understanding that talking with Brother Davis, the father at one time attended here on a sporadic basis. God knows. God knows. And we want to lift them up before the Lord, asking, continue to remember Brother Bill Kellum on the mend, but still not well enough to be here in service this morning. And ask that you would pray for little Landon. He is cutting molars, and so he's been up all night, and it's been a fun time. But he's here this morning, not 100%, but he's here. And let's pray for him. If you have a need and you would like to, if you have a need, why don't you just raise your hand? The Lord knows that situation, that circumstance. If you would like to be anointed and prayed for, we give you opportunity as we pray to come forward. Can we pray right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we lift this family up before you in prayer, God. Lord, a peace that passes all understanding would sweep into their heart and in their mind, God, that they would have a hope in the hereafter, Lord. And though tomorrow, God, as there will be such sorrow, God, as they lay the little one in final resting place, Lord, we know that the spirit has already gone back to you, God. Lord, I pray that you would be a comfort and a help to that family, be a strength to them, God. Let them turn to you, God, and find your help, your support, your strength, God, in this time of need. Lord, for those who are sick in body, Lord, we pray, God, that you would heal, that you would help, that you would raise up, deliver, and strengthen, God. We believe and trust in your power. Why don't you stretch your hands towards those that have come forward, that we believe that the Lord would save and help and heal.
Yeah.
God, will you lift your hands to the Lord right now? Thank you.
With authority you've spoken.
Believe in your touch.
And you've set the captive free.
We worship you, Savior.
You're the King who came to serve. And you're the God who washed our feet. You're the one who took our burdens. And you bled upon the cross. In your kindness and your mercy, you became the way for us. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing here. You may be seated. So good to have Brother and Sister Cottrell in service with us this morning. The pastors in Indiana, God bless you. I asked him before service, could I impose upon you to greet the congregation? And he said, well, can I do it from the pew? And I said, well, you certainly can, wherever you feel comfortable doing so. And Sister Cottrell, if you'd like to greet the congregation, you're more than welcome to do so as well. But so good to have you in service. Very nice to meet you, and looking forward to fellowship after service. So, Brother Cottrell, why don't you stand and greet this congregation? Why don't you stand and grab your Bibles? I know you can look around as I do and realize that we have quite a few families that are out this morning, and we realize it is a holiday weekend. And with that in mind, I talked with some of the Sunday school teachers and some others that were working around here. If you haven't got a chance to see, the ceiling in the kitchen is now complete. I want to say a big thank you to Brother Tom, putting a lot of work into that. Thank you so much, Brother Kreger. So there's some here on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and I realize that this is a holiday weekend. So tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. We will not have a traditional Sunday night service, but we will have a service. We will have a prayer service, and so we invite you to come, and from like 6:30 to 7:30 or whenever you feel you need to go, we'll just be here. We'll gather together and pray together, and that way we have quite a few that are out, some that help in music that are not able to be here. And so just kind of to take a little bit of the strain off all those that have so much to do and do so much on our weekend service, I pulled an executive order and decision and decided, well, let's just do something a little bit different. And so we're going to have a prayer service tonight beginning at 6:30. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that as we gather together and just have a time of prayer. If you have your Bibles and you would turn in them with me to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7, begin reading in verse number 22. Apostle Paul, writing the church at Rome, he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Anybody empathize with what the Apostle Paul is saying? "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind," everybody say the mind, "with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Apostle Paul is talking about that struggle that we all have. Our will of the Spirit, our flesh, the Spirit of God in our lives. And he is talking about these members as they war against one another. And he says that the law in his members war against the law that is in his mind. And then further on, he goes to say that I, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject: serving with the mind. Serving with the mind. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for another opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your precious name. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, open our minds to be receptive of your word, that we would realize, God, it's more than just a feeling, God. It's more than just a heart and our soul. It's with all of our mind, God, with our intellect, God, with our will and understanding, Lord, that we would submit it and that we would allow it, God, to serve you. For in doing so, we are better. In doing so, God, we are able, God, to overcome the flesh and the law of sin which wars against us. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Serving with the mind. In 1972, and iconic ad campaign was launched through a partnership with the advertising agency of Young and Rubicam and the Ad Council. The advertising campaign was in support of the UNCF, or the United Negro College Fund, and its motto, you might know, for it is simply, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." Some almost 45 years later, the motto is still going strong. It is one of the most iconic taglines and mottos in all of advertising history. The premise was this: that any mind, regardless of race, ethnicity, or culture, that was not given the opportunity to expand through education was wasted. Someone who was not given the opportunity, and so funds were given to this scholarship fund so that mainly minorities and those who didn't seem to have the access that others would were given an opportunity for their minds to be expanded and their knowledge base to be increased. I bring this up not to make a political statement or to express the importance of further education in some secular schooling, but rather to make a spiritual parallel that I believe is systemic in our society. We are living in a time where we as a whole have become less and less knowledgeable about the things of God. There is a great, and excuse the phrase, there is a great dumbing down. that has happened, and I believe that it is a device of the enemy. This dumbing down pertains to the divine, and the more our minds become preoccupied with entertainment and with temporal knowledge, the more spiritually ignorant we become. How bad is it, you might ask? Well, might I bring a few statistics to your understanding? According to a research done by the Barna Group, fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Many Christians cannot identify, or people who identify themselves as Christians cannot identify two or even three of the disciples. According to the data from the Barna Research Group, 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. George Barna, the leader of the Barna Research Group, was quoted as saying, "No wonder people break the Ten Commandments all the time. They don't know what they are." The bottom line, he said, is that increasingly America is biblically illiterate. It's amazing how many who qualify themselves as Christians know so little about Christ. See, I've come this morning to remind us that what we need is what the Apostle Paul said: with my mind, I serve the law of God. It's not just about the heart. It's not just about the feeling. It's with the mind. In other words, with my intellect and with my understanding, I can understand that the law of God is what I need to follow. I can, even from a moral standpoint and from an ethical standpoint and from a secular standpoint, I can understand with my mind that serving the Lord is what I need to do. See, what happens by decreasing our interaction with the Word of God and the things of God, by not praying as we ought, by not meditating upon good things, by not fasting and having devotions, we have decreased our spiritual intellect. And then we wonder why we find it difficult to serve God. We wonder why it is such a war. We wonder why we do fall prey all the time to the enemy's devices. And it's simply because we are ignorant of them. And the reason why is because we're not burying our nose in the book as we should. And we're not spending the time that we need to soaking in the spiritual stuff that will help us in this life to know what is right and what is wrong. Might I say it this way? Our spiritual mind is a terrible thing to waste. And might I say, we as a society are wasting it. We're so entertained, we're so preoccupied with success and wealth and fortune. We're so preoccupied with all that this world would offer us that what we fail to realize is what it's offering us is an increase in our secularism and in an increase in our temporal knowledge. And what we're doing is we're causing a decrease in our spiritual knowledge. Said it before, I'll say it again, and I dare say that Pastor Cottrell could agree. There are many times when we sit across the desk from people and we attempt to counsel them about stuff they should already know, about stuff they should have already found out for themselves if they'd have just taken some time to read the Word of God, if they'd have taken some time in a prayer closet, they'd already have their answer. The Lord would have already spoken to their heart. For some reason, we decide that we can just go through life and make right decisions. Might I say this? We cannot focus on a subject every now and then expect to be savvy therein. We can't just focus, and we can't just read the Word, and we can't just interact with the things of God on Sunday and on Wednesday and think that that's going to make it all right for Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. No, we need to understand it's a daily walk. It troubles me when I read statistics that teenagers, do you know how many teenagers read the Bible on a daily basis? Less than 3%, according to the research. That means they never cracked the book. They never opened it up to read it. And now we wonder why we're in the situation that we're in as a society when we won't give them a Bible at school, but we'll give it to them when they're in prison. We've lost it, and we need to get back to an understanding that I learned to serve the Lord with my mind, with my intellect, by interacting with the Word of God, by reading the Word of God. And I'm sorry, this fake grace that is preached in so many different churches, that you just do what you want to do, and you live how you want to live, that grace covers it all. I draw your attention to Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Might I say this? Grace cannot teach us anything when we're skipping school. Grace cannot teach us how to deny worldliness and ungodly lust when we're not taking the time to interact with grace. How is grace gonna teach us when we're not in the classroom? How's grace going to teach us when we're not opening the textbook? How's grace going to teach us when we're not interacting with the Word of God and the things of God? I don't know how many of you were able to take a few weeks ago as the Olympics were held in Rio. And, I'm one of those that loves that, and love athletics and sports. And as I began to look, and I saw the disparity between the medal count of the United States of America and all the other countries, I looked at my wife and I said, it's no wonder so many other countries despise America. But then it hit me. I wonder what it would be like if the Olympics were academic. I wonder where we, as United States of America, I wonder how many medals we, I dare say, I don't know this for certain, but I dare say that when it comes to academics, the disparity would not be near as great if we win at all. And here's the thing, the reason why we are so amazing in athletics, for one, is because it's the focus. It's the God. It's what's become. They make the millions. I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but it is a crying shame that individuals who make multi-million dollars can make some sort of political statement. It's as if the whole world turns their attention to hear it. And yet our educators who are paid peanuts in comparison. Now, I realize not all secular education is good. I'm not getting up here trying to say that we have a great thing going in our secular education. There's a lot of stuff that are taught in our schools that is against the Word of God. I get that. I understand that. But what I understand more in looking at our society is the disparity between what it really means to interact with our mind. We interact with our members on a daily basis, but we don't interact with our mind as we should, and then we wonder why we are in the place that we are in. We wonder why the politicians and many other leaders can make things that are so absurd. From a logical standpoint, we think, why in the world? They think they're wise and they're smart and they have it all together, but what they fail to realize is they're not interacting with the Word of God and they're not getting their information from the right source. Now, here's the sad part, is that we, as in the church, we have helped create this culture of emotionalism and feeling instead of instruction and righteousness. We understand we are in times, and
The Bible tells us that people shall not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itch in the ears. And so we understand that somehow they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to endure instruction in righteousness. So we got to somehow be relevant, and we got to somehow appeal to their senses, and we got to somehow get their emotions. But here's the thing that we fail to realize, and it was a statement that I heard Ravi Zacharias make that I thought was astounding. He said, "What we win them with, we will win them too." Thought to myself, if we think just emotionalism and just feel good and just come into the house of the Lord and sing a few songs and appease my conscience, what we fail to realize is what we win them with, we win them too. And so we wonder why, when the teaching gets tough and sound doctrine comes forth, and we say, "You got to change this, and this needs to align with the Word of God," all of a sudden the brakes are put on. Here's the thing. We are teaching society their beliefs should follow their emotions. It should be the other way around. The emotions should follow the beliefs. Because if we allow the beliefs to follow the emotions, then I believe what feels good. We need to learn. I need to serve God whether I feel it or I don't feel it. I need to learn to serve God with my mind. Just because I don't have the goosebumps doesn't mean it ain't good for me. Just because it doesn't make me feel all giddy and appease my conscience doesn't mean it's not exactly what I need to hear. Maybe, just maybe, it's instruction in righteousness. And maybe, just maybe, I need to learn how to serve God with my mind. Maybe, just maybe, I need to involve my intellect and understand that serving Jesus Christ is the smartest thing anybody could ever do. Apostle Paul said, "With my mind, I serve the law of God. I understand there's warring in my members. I understand carnal mind is enmity against God. So I've got to let the spiritual mind interact with the things of God." See, if I follow my emotions, well, then essentially I am susceptible to following my flesh. Paul says that with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. With my flesh. And we wonder why we trip up. We wonder why we fall prey to temptation. We wonder why we give in to lust. It's because we are failing to instruct in righteousness. I draw your attention to Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. "For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You want to know why we're often tripped up? It's because we're not exercising our senses as we should. Because we're not growing up like we should. There's a lot of people who spend a lot of time on a church pew and they're still cutting teeth. And they need to understand, I got to put away childish things and start getting a hold of the meat of the goodness of God. It's going to help me discern between good and evil. To teach others when we ourselves fail to have adequate instruction? How are we going to help others eat when we ourselves are still on the bottom? My God, we realize that as babes, we cannot truly discern between good and evil. There's so many people that say, "Well, you know, it just Word of God's good, and it's something that should be read, but it's not really something that should be a part of our everyday lives." I read a statistic, 57% millennials, 57% of millennials believe that the Bible is either outdated or that it is dangerous and that it oppresses. I thought to myself, my God, is it any wonder we are in the state that we are in? People don't know right from wrong. And the reason why they don't know, it's not because it's not there. It's because they haven't taken the time to interact. They haven't taken the time to bury their nose in the book for themselves and find out and be able to discern between good and evil, to know what is right and what is wrong, to be able to interact with the Word of God in such a way that they serve God with their mind. And I already know what to do in the situation, when I already know, why not be proactive? Why not have a walking relationship with God? It gives me the answers before the questions come up. Why not already know through interaction with the Word of God that with the mind? Paul said, I know sin by the law. In other words, I know what covetousness is because the law says, do not covet. I know I'm able to serve. I'm able to be submitted. I'm able to do what I need to do because I know. It's no wonder he would write in Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's with my mind. Yeah, I've read and quoted and preached from the scripture. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And somehow I thought to myself, well, wait a second, I've said that verse, I've quoted that verse, but what is the psalmist really saying? How do you hide the word in your heart? I tell you how you hide the word in your heart is you memorize. How else is he to hide? And open up his heart and put the word in. How does he hide the word in his heart? He sits there and he reads the word of God and he memorizes the word of God and he puts it to memory. It is no wonder. It is no wonder. How? That when we look at Bible quizzers, those individuals that hide the Word of God in their heart, that set their mind to memorizing the Word of God, it is amazing the retention ratio. It's in the high 80s, low 90s of those individuals who were involved in Bible quizzing. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Apostle Paul said that with my mind, I serve the law of God. Hide the word of God in their heart through their mind. No wonder the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, mind. Paul told young Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. In the secular realm, we would not expect to pass a complicated test without study. I realize there are some that are better test takers than others, and there are some that have the ability to retain. I get that. But even from a secular standpoint, if there was something, I've taken some rather difficult tests my life. But I never did so without spending a lot of time in study and preparation. How do we as a people expect to pass life's test? How do we expect to pass without study, without applying our mind Listen, you know me, I'm a pretty candid guy. One of the reasons why we have so many problems, even in our churches today, is because people simply do not interact with the Word of God with their mind anymore. They don't read. They'd rather listen to, and I'm not preaching against these things, but please understand, they'd rather listen to talk radio than a preacher. God, help me. God, help me. Help me understand what the Apostle Paul was saying. This struggle, this warring in my members, if I'm going to overcome, if I'm going to be able to not succumb to the flesh and the law of sin, then I've got to allow my mind and I've got to focus my mind. I've got to put my affection upon things above. I've got to put my focus on what really matters. I got to get it off all this other stuff which is so frivolous and so temporal in the main scheme, and I've got to put it on to Jesus and say, Lord, let me apply my mind. Sorry, but your Bible will do you no good sitting on the table. Your Bible will do you no good just bringing it and setting it beside you on the pew. And I go as far as to say your Bible will do you little good if the only time you crack it is when the preacher comes to the pulpit and says, would you open your Bibles to such and such? The only time you pray is when you feel compelled to come to an altar. Listen, I'm just trying to appeal to some reason and some intellect. Apostle Paul said that with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. I've interacted. Last week I preached about progressive revelation. Now so many people never progress past the point of who do men say that I am. They just take somebody else's word for it. They never get to know Jesus for themselves. Apostle Paul, after his encounter, guess what he said? Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, but I went out in the wilderness, and there I was instructed. There some interaction took place. There my mind began to be changed. Listen, I believe in the new birth. I believe in repentance and baptism in His name and the infilling of His Spirit. But there's many other words which testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. There's a lot more instruction that's needed. There's sanctification that's needed. There's understanding concerning the Word of God. And I'm not just going to get that by osmosis. I'm not just going to get that just by coming to church and being around the people of God. I've got to, with my mind, interact with the Word of God. And with my mind, meditate on the things of God. And with my mind, pray in the Spirit. And with my mind, I then serve God. If there's anything we need more instruction in, it's in righteousness. To know, Lord, help me get off the bottom. Help me to graduate from being a babe. Help me to learn how to use my spiritual teeth, God. Help me, Lord, to learn how to bite into some meat, God, to exercise the senses. That I would be able to discern between good and evil. Eve came to the tree that fateful day. And the Bible specifically says that when she saw it was good for food. There are things which seem good on the surface. There are things even in our Christian portrayed as good. really studied the Word of God, we would find out it's forbidden fruit. It may look good on the surface. It was good for food. One to be desired and to make one wise. It seemed like it was what was needed, but it wasn't good at all. Lord, help me. Help me not to be deceived. My Bible tells me that the enemy could transform into an angel of light, that he would deceive the very elect of God. What makes me think I'm immune? What makes me think I'm so smart? I would be able to notice his tactics. The only way is that with my mind, I serve the law of God. And I interact with the Word of God as they begin to sing and play. These altars are open. Can we respond to the Lord? Can we say, Lord, help me? It's not about feeling. It's not about emotion. It's about my mind. It's about bearing your Word in my heart. Amazing how many of the pharmaceuticals nowadays are considered mind-altering drugs. It amazes me how many people are on what they would consider psychotic medications. What we need to do is put the mind back in interaction with the Word of God.
And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my heart.
I hate to break it to you, sir. I hate to break it to you, ma'am. You're not smart enough on your own to outsmart the enemy. You're not smart enough on your own to make heaven your home. You're not. He does. You don't have the answers. His Word does. And how I'm going to know and how I'm going to be able to discern between good and evil is by with my mind serving the law of God. Should be those that do not keep up with their Bible reading. Come to win the world. war against the members, God, to overcome our flesh and carnal mind. You've given us the resources. Help us to apply our minds. You, Lord, we can't discern. We don't know the right from the left. Without interacting with you, your word, your spirit, we are destined for freedom. I won't make it, my family won't make it, till I learn how to apply my mind to serving you. My intellect, my will, submitted to yours. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can you lift your hands to the Lord? Help us, God, with our minds to serve. How to just come and lift our hands and feel good. Get all emotional and shed a few tears, God, but then go home and not open the book and not spend some personal time in prayer, God. We have so many opportunities. The Word of God is made available in so many different resources. Never before has the Word of God been as accessible as it is today. The sad reality is, as accessible as it is, it's seldom accessed. Help us to know, God, the only way to overcome is to be submitted to you. And in our minds, we serve the law of God. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.